It's hard to imagine that just 1 month ago, our world looked so different. At the beginning of March, roughly 70 cases of COVID-19 had been recorded in the U.S. Today, there are around 370,000 reported cases, with around 11,000 people dead. And as these numbers increase, we're getting a clearer picture of who is most vulnerable to this disease. In Michigan, one of the few states releasing data on the racial breakdown of cases, African Americans are getting sick and dying at a disproportionately higher rate than other communities. So today, we go to Detroit, where the situation continues to worsen by the day.
As of today, nearly 80% of the positive COVID-19 cases are in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. Over 40% of our total population lives in the same area. When the question is about what's happening in Michigan or what's happening in Detroit, it's really about the region where we have the most populated density.
That's Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer on Monday. In the state, more than 17,000 cases of the novel coronavirus have been reported, with over 700 people reported dead. And Detroit, the state's largest city, is Michigan's hotspot for COVID-19.
Our hospitals continue to be overwhelmed, particularly in southeast Michigan.
It seems like for the last 2 weeks, we have been catching up and chasing strategies.
In recent decades, Detroit went into economic decline, with the city's working population facing the brunt of its economic collapse. In 2013, the city of Detroit filed for bankruptcy. But in more recent years, we've begun to see glimpses of hope for the rebirth of the Motor City. Still, as COVID-19 works its way across the city, it's unclear what the future holds for Detroit. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, host of the podcast What Next TBD at Slate. And I'm filling in for Tanzina Vega. And today on The Takeaway, coronavirus in Detroit. Helping us break all this down is Kat Stafford, a reporter covering race and ethnicity for the Associated Press. Kat, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you start by giving us the latest of kind of what we know about COVID-19 in Detroit?
So what we've seen kind of develop over the past couple of weeks is really concerning. Every day you log on to Facebook, it's like an endless stream of memorials. People are concerned. People are frankly dying. And this is really serious. And when you broaden it out and look at the state of Michigan itself, this seems to really be hitting the African American community particularly hard. In the state, 33% of the cases are African American, and 40% of the deaths so far are African American. So it's leading a lot of people to ask why, what is going on?
When you look at those numbers, the racial breakdown, and look at, say, access to healthcare and health resources, are those distributed equitably in Detroit?
That's a great question. And that is one of the reasons why so many reporters such as myself have really been pressing the state and other states, frankly, for this type of data, because it really starts to peel back the layers of inequity, right? So when you look at this community, you have to understand that Detroit historically has one of the nation's highest poverty rates. Detroit also has historically had a lot of water shutoffs. And when you have state officials and federal officials telling you one of the most simplest things you can do to combat this virus is to wash your hands, when you think about the fact that there were people in the city of Detroit that didn't have access to water, how can you do that? When you look at the fact that African American communities are more likely to be exposed to heart disease or asthma rates because they live in these industrial cities, it's concerning, but you also have to look at the medical system itself. And a lot of experts that I've talked to, even doctors, have said and admitted that, yes, we know that there are medical bias in our system. We know that a history of systemic racism also factors into African-Americans not being able to access equitable care.
You mentioned people staying home and, you know, what we've seen kind of limited services, particularly in light of the bankruptcy a few years ago. What kinds of resources do people have to enable them to stay at home? What are we talking about in terms of access to water, food, supplies? What do they got?
When you think about people that live in cities like Detroit, how can they stay at home when they're more likely to be in the service industry? They're more likely to be these folks that fall in the essential workers class. So they're still out and about. They're still traveling. And also in Detroit, you have a lot of the population that does not have a car. they don't have access to transportation. So they're still taking the buses. They're still out there walking around. And in Detroit, the other issue is there are a lot of food deserts. There are places in the city where you have to travel more than 2 miles to get some groceries, to get simple things like milk and bread for your family. So when you put all of that into the pot, it becomes that much harder for people in a city like this one to really try and stay home and social distance.
One of the things I've been struck by is how hard even local leaders have been hit in Detroit. Can you contrast what you're hearing from local and municipal officials with what you're hearing from, say, Governor Whitmer at the state level?
Yes. So in the city of Detroit, we've seen people from every facet of life be hit by this virus. We've seen the police chief James Craig of the city of Detroit was diagnosed with COVID-19. Thankfully, it sounds like he's doing much better. He's healing. City Council President Bridget Jones, we've seen a lot of officials have these diagnoses, and it's on every level. I mean, every day you wake up and it's a fear of, will my family member be the next person on Facebook or social media? So a lot of people are seeing that this is real, and a lot of people are taking it serious in the city of Detroit and other African-American communities across the country. So it's really just a scary situation, some are saying, to be living in right now, knowing that this city is a hotspot.
There was a sit-in over the weekend at Sinai Grace Hospital. Some workers were protesting the resources that they had available to them. I'm wondering what efforts to fight the COVID pandemic have looked like kind of at the community level, whether you're talking about protesting or mutual aid groups, things like that.
One medical official that I spoke to, she said it was like a tsunami, just in terms of the amount of patients coming in who are seriously ill. And it's a lot. That's a lot to bear for a lot of health workers to be on these shifts where they're just seeing a patient who could have been talking to them yesterday and conscious to the next day, they're gone. So when you think about the toll that this has taken on our health workers, when you think about the people that are outside volunteering, trying to deliver meals to the homeless in our community to make sure that they still are getting the resources that they have, this is really taking a toll on the city.
On an economic front, we've seen nearly 10 million people around the country file for unemployment. What does that look like in Detroit? And have people been able to access the kinds of benefits that are available to them?
So Governor Gretchen Whitmer Monday held a press conference just to update the state as a whole on where efforts stand. And one of the things that she really spoke about in extent was our unemployment system and how a lot of people, when they've been applying for these unemployment benefits, have faced long wait times or the system has crashed. So they've been working around the clock to fix this issue. But just like every other state across the country, it's just been, again, a tsunami of people really applying and trying to get these benefits. And people are asking, will the state be staffing up? She said, yes, they're increasing staff. And the governor even said she plans to help out herself to really process these claims. So a lot of people are trying to apply for these benefits. I mean, our small business community especially has been hit hard. When you look at Detroit, Detroit historically has also had a very strong base of these mom and pop shops, these small businesses that are the strong backbone of the city, and they have been hit so hard. So the question becomes, when this is over, what help will be there for these small businesses? Because they're going to need help beyond right now.
When you think about the city facing coronavirus and the economic fallout of that, what does that do to the kind of nascent attempts the city has been making to try to come back from bankruptcy?
I think that's a major concern for the city of Detroit. When you look at the city and what it's been through, municipal bankruptcy, just the fits and starts to try and really rebound the city's economy, when this pandemic hit the city is putting an unbelievable strain on the resources, because of course the city has to take this seriously, for which they are. They're devoting resources to this effort. The city just announced they know that they have a huge amount of people, like I said, that don't have access to vehicles. They're going to be picking people up and taking them to testing sites. Those types of things cost money. And what are you diverting those resources from to pay for these things? So we've seen a lot of officials talk about, okay, we're going to need to tighten our books. So, of course, there's a lot of concern on what total impact will this have on the city's economy.
There's been some tension in the past 10 years between Detroit and, say, state legislators in Lansing, figuring out what the city, quote unquote, deserves. Do you feel like the state is backing its biggest city right now?
I think the state, frankly, has no choice but to back the city, because Detroit, once again, is the largest city. And Detroit and Wayne County specifically, which is where the city is, they are being hit the hardest by this pandemic. And in order to turn the state around, in order to really battle this virus, you have to divert resources to these two locations. And that's what the state is doing. The state is working hand in hand with the city of Detroit. And like Governor Gretchen Whitmer said Monday during her press conference, she said this is an all-out effort by us on the state level, by us in the cities, in the counties. So what you're seeing are a lot of people coming together and working toward finding a solution to make sure that the residents in the state are safe.
I got to ask you, this is your hometown. You've been a journalist there for a while. How are you doing?
Thanks for asking me that. You know, the hardest part about this is when you're covering this type of story, it's hard. And usually as journalists, we're trained to handle these types of stories. But usually we have the outlet. We're able to go out. We're able to socialize with fellow journalists to kind of talk about these issues. And right now you can't. So that's hard. And it also is doubly as hard when you start to see people that you know, sources that you've interviewed for years, who are succumbing to this virus. That hits hard. So I've been telling all of my friends to make sure that we're all practicing self-care, the same self-care that we're writing and urging our readers to do. We need to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves as well.
Kat Stafford is a reporter covering race and ethnicity for the Associated Press, and she joined us from Detroit. Kat, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
There are more than 5,000 confirmed cases in the city so far, though the real number is likely much higher. One of the people who's been diagnosed with the virus is Brenda Jones. She's the current president of the Detroit City Council and a former member of Congress for the state of Michigan. She recently tested positive for the coronavirus, though she told me her symptoms are mild and she's currently in isolation at home.
I found out that I had COVID-19 sometime last week, during the week of last week, and I was sent an email to inform me that I tested positive.
How are you feeling right now?
I am blessed. I am strong. I feel good. But it's something that I know that I tell everyone, please take this serious. Although I feel good, everyone is not as blessed as I've been. And some have had more severe symptoms. So it's something that people must take serious.
As the city council president, what has this meant for how you do your job, you know, having to work remotely and do it from home?
I've been able to continue to do my job. I have held video conferencing city council meetings. I've had different panelists there from the health department, from our testing site, our resources on giving meals to people. So as a community leader, I am still doing my job.
And what do your constituents tell you at those meetings?
They're asking questions. I had a constituent that was extremely concerned about how I was feeling. I, you know, informed them that I was feeling well. Just at times, I'm extremely shortness of breath. So my constituents have truly been concerned, and I've received a lot of love and prayers.
For the most part, do you think people in Detroit are taking this seriously?
I think people are taking it seriously, but I also feel that because the weather has broken and, you know, a younger generation is having difficult staying at home during the warm weather. So the mayor has had to take down basketball hoops and to encourage our residents to comply with the stay-at-home orders. I think most of our residents are taking it seriously. However, you still have some that I don't think is taking it as serious as others are.
You know, it's not just you. Obviously, the police chief also tested positive for COVID-19. And I guess I wonder if seeing people like you and the police chief come down with the virus might change the way how residents are looking at the threat around them.
Well, something that I can definitely say is it does not have a face. It can happen to a local elected official. It can happen to a federal elected official. It can happen to our police chief. It can happen to anyone. The coronavirus does not have a face on who gets it.
Last month, you said you'd be challenging Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib in the upcoming Democratic primary for the 13th Congressional District. Are you still doing that? And how is this affecting your ability to campaign?
It's not just affecting my campaign. It's affecting everyone's campaign. But what I am doing is videoing from my home. I am making telephone calls from my home, telling people that they must get out and vote. I am staying at home and staying safe and keeping others safe. And I am campaigning from my home and talking to people from my home.
I wonder if it's difficult in your position, because on the one hand, you're clearly still doing your job. But do you ever want to say, you know what, I'm taking a sick day to show my constituents that this is serious. And if they get sick, they should take a sick day.
So when I don't feel good, I take time out. But when I'm feeling good, I let my constituents know I am your council president and I am here to continue to serve you and service you from my home. And just as my staff is working from home.
Detroit has had a pretty difficult decade. Do you worry about how fragile the economic recovery is and what this pandemic could do to Detroit?
As you know, we have casinos, and all of three of our casinos have closed. It has affected the businesses here. However, Detroit will continue to rise. Detroit has managed to work together to make Detroit continue to rise and to help Detroit continue to rise. We're going to have to change our budget, but we will continue to serve our citizens here in the city of Detroit.
Is there anything you want to tell your constituents or listeners across the country just to keep in mind as this epidemic goes on?
Make sure they are continuing to wash their hands. If they do not have hot water and soap, to please use hand sanitizer. I want to tell them to keep their hands out of their face. Do not put your hands in your eyes, in your nose, in your mouth. To practice social distancing. If you know that you have tested positive, quarantine yourself. Do not go around others. Continue. I cannot press enough to continue to practice social distancing. I want to tell my constituents in the city of Detroit that I appreciate them, but I also want them to take this serious. Michiganders, we are strong. Like winter, spring, summer, and fall. This too shall pass.
Brenda Jones, president of the Detroit City Council, former member of Congress, thank you for joining us, and I hope you feel better very soon.
And thank you for allowing me to talk to you and all of the citizens who are listening around the United States.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.